All right, take your Bibles, please, and turn to Matthew chapter 15 for the message tonight. I think I said 17 in the second service, but it's 15. Matthew chapter 15. And I will begin reading tonight in verse 29. Verse 29. The Bible says, "And Jesus departed from thence." Now, where's thence? All right, look back at verse 21. In verse 21, it says, "Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon." Now, let me explain to you where Tyre and Sidon were and are. Tyre and Sidon are on the Mediterranean in Lebanon. This is the only time that the Lord left Israel proper and went outside of the border of Israel. He was in Jerusalem in the beginning of the chapter, and he let the Pharisees and the scribes have it with both barrels, and they were angry. And so he left there, and he went to Tyre and Sidon. Now, let me just say that this is the only time that he went outside of the people of Israel. This is it. And some amazing things happened when he was there. He took the disciples with him, of course. And this is where that woman of Canaan, and that defines her as a heathen. She was a pagan. She was a Canaanite. And she worshipped all these false gods. And she cried out for mercy. And the Lord showed mercy to her. In verse 28, he said, "O woman, great is thy faith. Great is thy faith." And so in verse 29, he departed from thence and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee. Now, in order to get from Tyre and Sidon, you just had to go a little ways down to Israel, and just a little ways to the region of the Sea of Galilee. All right? So watch this carefully now. As I read the scripture, you pay real close attention to every word that is written. It says, "He came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee and went up into into a mountain and sat down there. And great," what's the next word? Multitudes, plural. Not a great multitude, but great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others. So the great multitude went up to where he was on the mountain. Stay with me now. You with me? The great multitudes from the region went up on the mountain where he was. And they brought their sick, their afflicted, their blind, their deaf, their maimed, and many others to where he was up on the mountain. And look at your Bible. Cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. Wow. Insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to be whole, the lame to walk, and the blind to see. And they glorified the God of Israel. Verse 32. Then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they continue with me now 3 days. Folks, this went on for 3 days. Amazing, huh? They continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. And his disciples say unto him, whence should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to fill so great a multitude? Now, if you'll remember in the message this morning, I referred to you that, referred to the verses in chapter 14 where Jesus and the disciples were on the Sea of Galilee with the Jews. These people were from, according to Mark's gospel, these people were from Decapolis. Deca meaning 10, polis meaning city, and there were 10 Roman cities. Those of you that have been to Israel with us, you remember just south of the Sea of Galilee, we went to the ruins of Bet-Shean. Bet-Shean, remember that? And you saw all those Roman columns and the stone roadway and the whole nine yards. Well, that was one of the Decapolis cities, and there were 10 of them. 10 of them around. And so who lived in those cities? Not Jews. Heathens lived there. People outside the covenant. People that worshiped Caesar and worshiped the gods of Rome. And so with the Jews in chapter 14, they spent all day with him. And they said, Lord, send these people home. They got to go to McDavid's and get a hamburger before they go home. And the Lord said, no, we'll take care of them here. Well, how can we feed all these people? There were 5,000 men in chapter 14. 5,000 plus the women and children. So if each man had a wife, that's 10,000. If they all had 2.4 kids, that's a whole bunch. And Andrew came and said, Lord, we got 5 loaves and 2 fishes, but what is that among so many? And the Lord blessed that and fed the multitude. Now you flip the chapter to the 15th chapter, and here's the Lord now, not with Jews, but with Gentiles. Not with people of the covenant, but those that people of the covenant considered heathens. And he is up on a mountain. The people are coming to him. They're bringing their sick and injured and maimed and blind and deaf and a whole bunch of other physical problems. They're bringing them up on the mountain, and the Lord said, I got compassion on these people. We need to feed them. Verse 33, and his disciples say unto him, whence should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to fill so great a multitude? And Jesus said, you'd think they'd learn, don't you think? Jesus said, how many loaves have ye? And they said, 7, and a few little fishes. Notice they emphasize the word little. It must have been Baptist people, had to have been Baptist people. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves and the fishes and gave thanks and broke them and gave to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they did, what's the next word? All eat and were filled. Oh, I like that. And they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets full, and they that did eat were 4,000 men beside women and children. And he sent away the multitude and took a ship and came into the coast of Magdala. Now Magdala, if you remember, those of you that have been with me to Israel, when you're on that road that goes through right through Tiberias, you get over a little rise, and then it swings around to the right. That would be that way for you, that way for me. It swings around to the right, and Magdala lay right there along the road on the northern edge of the Sea of Galilee. All right, now, using this text tonight, I want to speak on this subject. Let's go to the mountain. Let's go to the mountain. Let's pray together. And then the message. Our Father, help us tonight. We need to hear from heaven tonight. And Lord, I pray that you will speak to our hearts and bless us richly. Bless us with your word. Bless us with your presence. Bless us with the power of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray that every one of us will have ears to hear. Do what only you can do, Lord. I can't do it. I'm only flesh and blood. I have no power except what you give. And so, Father, pour out your power upon this service tonight. And we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, the Lord Jesus is in the very heart of his Galilean ministry. He took the disciples earlier in the chapter and went over into Tyre and Sidon, just outside of Israel in Lebanon. And in verse 29, we read that he returns to the area of the Sea of Galilee. And in verse 30, we read that great multitudes, notice multitudes plural, came to see him. Now, I want you to notice that the Lord Jesus went up into a mountain. On both sides of the Sea of Galilee, on as you're standing where it comes out at the bottom in the south, both sides, right and left hand side, there are high mountains. And there are little communities all over those mountains. On our last trip that we went to Israel, I asked our bus driver if there was any way we could go up on, as you're standing looking north, the left-hand side of the mountains. And he said, oh yeah, the bus can go up there. I said, well, years ago, I went up there. And I would like for our people to go up and just see that view. So we drove that bus up the side of that mountain. And you get about halfway up and turn right. And we stood there and looked at the Sea of Galilee halfway up one of those mountains. There are mountains all over the place. And I want you to notice that the Bible says the Lord Jesus went up on a mountain. You know, God has often done his greatest work on the mountain. For example, he gave Moses the law on the mountain of Sinai, Mount Sinai. He revealed himself to Elijah on Mount Sinai many years later through the still small voice. The psalmist tells us that Mount Zion, heaven, is on the sides of the north. The Lord Jesus gave his great sermon in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the Bible says, on the mount, on the mountain. The inner circle of the disciples, Peter, James, and John, saw the transfiguration of the Lord Jesus where Moses and Elijah showed up and carried on a conversation with the Lord Jesus. And the Bible says that it was on the mountain, on the mountain of transfiguration. And of course, the Lord Jesus paid the price of sin and died on the cross on Calvary's mountain, Mount Calvary. Then he went to the Mount of Olives, the Mountain of Olives on the eastern side of Jerusalem, and he ascended back to heaven to take a seat at the Father's right hand from that mountain. And then we read in the Bible that when he returns at his second coming to establish his millennial kingdom, he will step down out of heaven onto the Mount of Olives once again. So I think I'm safe in saying that whenever God or his Son, the Lord Jesus, is on a mountain, something pretty spectacular is about to happen. And I want you to notice that my text says the Lord Jesus walked up into a mountain, and once there, he sat down. And when he sat down, we are told that great multitudes came to him. And as they came, they brought their friends and their family members who were suffering from blindness or deafness, those that were unable to speak, even those that had been maimed. You and I need to thank God we live in the day in which we live. I mean, I dislocated my elbow when I was in the third grade. I am so thankful that I was taken to a hospital and that I was put under anesthesia, and they, while I was asleep, popped my elbow back into place, and I got full use of my elbow today. But folks, you just stop and think about it. If you lived back years ago and you had a compound fracture in your leg or in your arm, what would you do? What would you do about that? You would be maimed for life. And you just think of all the rambunctious little boys, and you just think of all the rambunctious little girls who have broken their limbs. And you just have to live with it. They brought the maimed to him, and he took care of it. Matthew says not only the blind and the deaf and the mute and the maimed, but Matthew said, and many others, and cast them at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. Now, I've said this before, but I think it needs reiterated. Would there have been a single sick person or a single crippled person or a single deaf person or a single blind person anywhere in Galilee when Jesus walked up on those mountains? I don't think so. You say, why, Pastor? Well, think about it. If you had a sick child and you heard that Jesus was there, would you not grab your sick child? And if you had to walk for days, get to him? Well, I would have. I certainly would have. As a matter of fact, I would have gone to see him myself. Lord, thou canst make me whole. That would have been what rolled out of my mouth. And I'm sure you'd do the same thing. And the wonder of it all, folks, is when the multitudes of people came, he healed them. You say, well, Pastor, how many did he heal? All of them. He healed them all. Verse 31 tells us the multitude were amazed at the fact that he healed the blind and caused them to see, and when the lame were made whole, and when the deaf could hear, and when the mute could speak, I mean, up on the mountain, folks, he met every need. Nobody left disappointed after coming to see Jesus on the mountain. You with me? Now, In these few verses, I think we can see what is our responsibility in the Christian life. I want you to notice a couple of things from this passage of Scripture. Number one, listen carefully. Our job today is to take folks up on the mountain to see Jesus. Hey, folks, He's still there. He's still there. You say, well, where is He? He's in Mount Zion. He's still on the mountain. Great is the Lord, Psalm 48:1. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. In the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth. Is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King? And our job, our responsibility is to take folks up the mountain to see Jesus. There is something fascinating about the way this is worded in verse 30. It says, great multitudes, look at it, great multitudes came to Him on the mountain. And it was the great multitudes that came who brought with them the folks who were blind and deaf and lame and all the others. It was the multitudes that came, but it was, but it was the multitudes that brought all the sick folks with them. You with me on that? Folks, He was up on the mountain. So I got a question for you. How were these poor, infirmed folks going to get to Him if He's up on the mountain? Somebody had to help them. Somebody had to take them up that mountain. Somebody, in many cases, had to physically carry them and put them at Jesus' feet. A blind man would have never been able to get up there on that mountain alone. I've seen those mountains. A maimed man would never have been able to scale up those cliffs. Somebody had to take them to Jesus. And folks, is not this a beautiful picture of what you and I are supposed to be doing today? Jesus is up on the mountain, and there's a lot of folks who are unable to get up there, so it is our job to help them get to Jesus. And again, notice that every person that was taken up that mountain was healed. Every one of them. Oh, I'm so glad that one day somebody knocked on our door and we went to church. And on that Sunday morning that we went to church, Pastor Jim E. Falls took us up the mountain. I mean, he opened the Bible and he took us up the mountain. And I sat there that morning under conviction. And when the invitation was given, I stepped out and walked down the aisle. And Gary Lane, the youth pastor at our church, took the Bible and he led me to Jesus. Folks, this is why we have the soul winning emphasis here in our church. This is why we have the bus ministry. It's our job to go out here and bring them in. This is why we have the children's ministries. This is why we have the teen ministry and Carroll Christian Schools and the Reformers program and the television broadcast. And this is why we're putting the services on the internet. And this is why we have the master's clubs. We are doing our very best to act like the multitude here and bring those who have spiritual needs, need of healing for their souls, up the mountain to Jesus. And everybody was amazed because no matter how bad the case was, when they were brought before Jesus, He handled it. I mean, imagine some poor man who had broken his leg as a child. And for the last 40 years, he has hobbled around on crutches. And he hasn't been able to get a job. And he hasn't been able to get a family. And he crawls onto the back of his brother who loves him. And his brother carries him up the mountain. And when he gets up there, he waits his turn. But it's finally his turn. And he crawls off and falls at Jesus' feet, and the loving touch of the Savior's hand, and he's healed. Wow. That's pretty cool, isn't it? But wait a minute. Wait just a second. I want you to picture all this in your head. Can you see a mountain? Can you see thousands of people? Can you see them? Can you see the Lord Jesus sitting? And look at the line of people that are waiting. But I want you to see something else. Over here, those old long-nosed Pharisees, they got their robes on. Man, they look so spiritual. They look so pious. And they're standing over here just, it's ridiculous. This is absolutely ridiculous. And they are standing there watching one right after the other get brought and laid at Jesus' feet. And one right after the other, for 3 days this went on, folks. And he heals every one of them. But listen, I cannot help but wonder how many critics were there. And I can just imagine those old long-nosed Pharisees standing there watching all of this, just fuming. I mean, steam was coming out their ears, just absolutely going crazy with their criticisms. But look again at the last phrase in verse 30, and he healed them. But can't you hear those old Pharisees now? Can't you hear them? One of them elbows the other and says, you know what that is right there? You know what that is right there? That's easy healism. That's easy healism. Time they get off this mountain, they'll be sick again. Time they get off this mountain, he won't be able to walk again. That's nothing more than just easy healism right there. Aren't you sick and tired of a bunch of old lazy, backslidden Christians criticizing soul winning? I am. Well, I just can't believe a person can be healed instantly like that. Thank God you can. I can hear one of them Calvinist Pharisees. I can see them looking down their nose now, watching what's going on. And one of them old Calvinist Pharisees, he says, I'm sorry, sir, but you can't be healed. I mean, walk over to some guy in line. He's been standing there for an hour, and walk over to some guy in line and say, excuse me, but we just had a little meeting over here, and we have decided that you're not one of the elect to be healed today. Really? I mean, I can just see some man being led by the hand, and he has been blind from birth, and the one that's leading him is crying and weeping because he knows just a few more minutes and I'm going to have my daddy right at Jesus' feet. And then all of a sudden some old Calvinist walks up and says, I'm sorry, sir, but was your father born blind? Was he born that way? Oh, no, he wasn't born that way. He has developed blindness over the last few years. And if I can just get him to Jesus, well, we had a little meeting over here, and we decided that your daddy was predestined before the foundation of the world to be blind. It would not be wise for you to go see Jesus. Phooey on that. But one touch of the master's hand, and those old blind eyes were opened. Shame on anybody for saying that taking sinners to the mountain to see Jesus doesn't work. Shame on you for saying that. Truth is, there is a whole room full of people right here tonight who at one time were spiritually blind, spiritually deaf and couldn't hear the truth, were maimed and unable to get up the mountain themselves, but someone with compassion took them up the mountain to see Jesus, and when they did, they got the healing that they needed for their souls. I'm saying, folks, that our job is to take folks up the mountain to see Jesus. Number two, I want you to notice in the text that the people glorified God when the folks were made whole. They glorified God when these folks were made whole. They didn't glorify the one that helped them up the mountains. Are you listening? They didn't glorify the one that helped them up the mountain. They did not glorify the apostles. They did not glorify the church. No, they glorified the God of Israel because God's representative was right there doing the healing. It was the touch of the Lord Jesus that healed them. Mark's gospel tells us that Jesus went to Decapolis, that region, in that region of Galilee. So what does that mean? Well, that means that the people who were coming to him on the mountain were not Jews. It means that the multitudes were heathens who were there in Israel working for Rome and living in the Roman-built cities. And yet when they went up on the mountain, they saw God in one man, Jesus of Israel, of Judah's kingly tribe. Do you remember when God called Abraham as the founding father of Israel? And in chapter 12, he said, I will bless thee and thou shalt be a blessing. Well, Jesus was fulfilling that divine ideal right here in this passage. Multitudes were being blessed and helped, and it was all due to the love and the compassion and the goodness of Jesus being on the mountain and receiving sinners regardless of what race they were. Let me ask you something, dear friend. Don't you think these people knew who had blessed them? You say, what do you mean, Pastor? I want you to imagine a blind man. His daddy comes to him and says, son, we're going to take a trip. Where are we going, Dad? We're going to a mountain. We'll follow the crowd. Everybody's going. And I heard that if I can get you there, you're going to have your sight back. And the boy says, Dad, I don't know. How far is it? He said, son, don't worry about that. We're going to see Jesus of Nazareth. He's Israel's Messiah, and we're going to go see him. But, Dad, I can't climb that mountain. Yes, you can, son, and I will carry you if I have to get you there. But you're going up the mountain. So they get to the mountain. And then they get up the mountain. And when they get in front of Jesus, it's his turn to kneel down at Jesus' feet. Now, question. I want you to think about this, folks. Who was the first person that that blind boy saw when his sight was restored? Hello. Who was the first person that he saw when his vision was restored? The one that healed him. I want you to think about that deaf boy, and he's carried up the mountain. Whose voice was the first voice that he heard when he received his hearing? I want you to think about that man that had the crutch and he's hobbling away and he's got a family member on one side and a family member on the other, and they get him to Jesus, and when they got him there, the Lord Jesus reaches out and touches his leg. One touch! And that leg was made whole. One touch and that broken arm was made whole. Folks, I'm telling you, when you get to Jesus, when you get there, you're going to know that it was Him that healed you. You're going to know that it was Him that saved you. I mean healed, spiritually healed your soul. Would you go back in your mind to the day that you heard the gospel and you were taken up on the mountain? You saw Jesus when your blind eyes were opened. You saw Jesus when your deaf ears heard God's truth. You loved Jesus when your old wicked heart got washed in the blood of the Lamb. And I'm just saying that we need to keep taking people up the mountain to see Jesus. Folks, that's what it's all about. I'm just saying that when we get so busy dealing with life here and our hearts get spiritually cold and we have lost our compassion and we start finding excuses for staying home and we start finding excuses for not reading our Bibles, it's time then for God's people to say, whoa, wait a minute, I need to get up on the mountain and get alone with Jesus. Then number three, I want you to notice that the ones who brought the sick got a miracle too. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, look at the rest of the story. It's all connected. They're still up on the mountain in verse 32. They're still up there. And I want you to see the compassionate heart of our Savior. We see the Lord feeding 4,000 men plus all the women and children who had been up on that mountain 3 days and 3 nights with Jesus. This is not the feeding of the 5,000 in the previous chapter. And I don't, listen, you go home and check me out and you get your little commentary out and look at it, and that semi-agnostic commentator will say, well, this is probably the same miracle as in chapter 14. No, it ain't. Not the same. Not the same. I'm going to give God the credit here. It's not the same. This is not the feeding of the 5,000. That was along the shores of the Sea of Galilee. And that was done for the Jews, people inside the covenant. This was a second great miracle of multiplying the bread and a few fishes, but for folks of Decapolis who were outside the covenant. But I want you to notice, doesn't matter which miracle you look at, in both miracles, Jesus fed them before He sent them home. He fed them. You see, the multitude that carried, the multitudes that led, the multitudes that walked, the multitudes that helped all these infirmed folks up the hill also got their own miracle and all the blessings to go with it. And the picture is, whether you're Jew or whether you're Gentile, Jesus saves and provides our needs. They saw the power of His hand. They saw the power, His power to change lives. And then they saw, wait for it, they saw His power to sustain and to give us what we need so we can move on. Oh, I'm glad God doesn't save you, lick your back, throw you against a wall, and hope you stick. No, sir. No, sir. They saw in Jesus that He is all they need. Let me tell you something, folks. There is nothing wrong with America. There is nothing wrong with the church. There is nothing wrong with professing Christianity. There is nothing wrong with your home. There is nothing wrong with you. There is nothing wrong with me. But what climbing up the mountain and sitting at the feet of Jesus wouldn't fix. We need to get up the mountain. He's still up there. He's still there. I came in here tonight to tell you one thing. We need to keep getting those spiritually blind, spiritually deaf, spiritually maimed, and taking them by any and every means possible up the mountain. There's healing in His touch. There is new hope. There is new life. There is sins forgiven for those that meet Him on the mountain. There is nourishment for the soul. There is strength for the day. There is blessing and encouragement for all of us who will go up on the mountain to see Jesus. Now let me ask you something tonight, Christian. When's the last time you've been up on the mountain to see Jesus? When's the last time you've been up on the mountain to see Jesus? He's still up there. He's still there. And He is so hoping that you'll stop by for a visit.